Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Linda Kenyon. Vice President Harris is vetting possible running mates. What is she looking for? CBS News political contributor Joel Payne takes a look.
Vice President Harris is putting a really high premium on alignment and philosophy, chemistry and partnership in this pick, and not simply somebody who checks a box in terms of geography or in terms of constituency.
The list is said to include Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg, Kentucky Governor Andy Beshear, and Minnesota Governor Tim Walz. Kamala Harris has clinched the Democratic presidential nomination in a virtual roll call and will be officially nominated in person at the party's convention later this month. CBS's Natalie Brand says former President Trump has already challenged her to a debate.
In a new social media post overnight, Trump says he's agreed with Fox News to debate Harris on September 4th in Pennsylvania.
The Harris campaign says earlier arrangements for a debate on September 10th on ABC are still on, and the network will still provide the airtime to whichever qualifying candidates show up. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin has overridden a plea deal for the accused mastermind of the 9/11 attacks, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, and two other defendants. Terry Strata speaks for the 9/11 Families United.
I am very pleased with this decision and that the Pentagon got involved and has revoked this plea deal and put the death penalty back on the table.
The defendants had agreed to plead guilty in exchange for no death penalty. Police in Somalia say 32 people have been killed, 63 others wounded in an attack on a beach hotel in Mogadishu. Here's BBC reporter Dorcas Wangira.
This is a very popular beach and many people were coming in. In fact, many young people. So there was one suicide bomber who detonated the bomb and then there were other attackers who were shooting randomly at people.
A tropical storm warning is in effect in parts of Florida this weekend. John Kanjalowski is at the National Hurricane Center.
Our forecast is not for a hurricane, but something of a strong tropical storm close to a hurricane by the time it makes landfall late Sunday night or into the early portions of the day on Monday. The biggest concern is for the stronger winds along Florida's Gulf Coast, especially the northern portion of the Gulf Coast. And then, of course, storm surge is a concern. There's a storm surge watch in effect for a good chunk of Florida's Gulf Coast as well.
School districts in Texas cracking down on cell phone use in the classroom.
Grand Prairie ISD is trying something new to minimize distractions in the classroom. Every student at Grand Prairie and South Grand Prairie High Schools will get one of these pouches this year. They'll be required to place their phones inside and lock them at the start of each day.
CBS's Caroline Vandegrift. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. The average American family will spend about $875 on school supplies this year. As Mike Moan reports, donation drives are underway to help families with limited budgets.
Organizations like Family Pathways help low-income households overcome these expenses. The group's Clarissa Zemke says there's a lot of demand for help and fewer people have extra money to donate supplies. For those that do, she hopes they keep in mind the many things students need to have a successful year. Beyond markers and notebooks, certain tech accessories are needed.
Headphones are a big thing, I think, on pretty much every list from elementary on up. And a lot of things that we're seeing right now, especially for the older kids, is USB flash drives.
Many schools provide Chromebooks, but organizers say they see a lot of wear and tear over the year. Graphing calculators for high schoolers can help households on a limited budget still have money for other necessities. Nonprofits say gym shoes and other clothing items should be considered, especially since kids can outgrow them fairly quickly. Zach Spiroff with Resource West in the Twin Cities West Metro region says when planning a donation, you're encouraged to consider getting something new and avoid hand-me-downs.
Trying to get back in a memory from your youth and how exciting it is to go to school with new stuff and feel good about yourself.
He says that confidence can indicate these students feel supported by their community, allowing them to focus on learning and achieving better outcomes. Monetary donations are welcome too. That allows aid groups to help more of these households with daily living expenses, giving them extra wiggle room for back-to-school shopping. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, mostly sunny. We'll have highs in the mid-80s. For tonight, mostly clear, 67. Mostly sunny, highs in the upper 80s on Sunday. Showers and storms Sunday night, a low around 70 degrees. For Monday, scattered storms with a high around 80.
It's 76 at our studios.
Pat Kreitlow.
Monday morning, we'll be looking back at the weekend highlights from the Paris Olympic Games and talking about the new Democratic presidential ticket.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6. You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Wisconsin, what is happening? This is Raised in Wisco. I'm your host, Joel Clayfish, sitting alongside Danielle Fairman.
Hello.
Raised in Wisco on your Civic Media stations throughout Wisconsin. 13 of them every weekend day at 11 o'clock. Make sure to check us out on your Civic Media station. Raised in Wisco is the show that helps you participate in Wisconsin's great outdoors.
Absolutely. It's everything you need to know outdoors in Wisconsin, and it's fantastic.
And it's a lot about what you do outdoors can end up on your dinner table. At least that's what it's like for
that's
me.
That's the goal.
I'm Joel Clayfish, sitting across from Danielle Fairman. We have the state game bird ecologist Taylor Finger with us today.
Woo!
He's a tough get. I'm going to tell you what, he is not an easy get.
Oh,
because,
no?
Well, dude works for the DNR. Like, he's like the head official in charge of not just like used to be the waterfowl, you know, biologist. Now he's game bird biologist. That means pheasants, turkeys, ducks, geese, chucker, quail.
So the birds.
What am I missing? Woodcock.
Yeah, we do mourning dove.
Mourning dove.
Sandhill crane.
Sandhill crane, you name it. We need a hunting season for sandhill crane.
It's just one.
Hey, it's hot. It's been so hot outside. But I have to tell you, I mean, Weekly Wisco, that's where Danielle Fairman and I talk about what we did outside in Wisconsin in just the past week. We have Weekly Wiscos every week because that is how much there is to do even in the summertime. Now, you know I love hunting and fishing, and Danielle loves the outdoor sports too. But I have to tell you, there's still so much to do in Wisconsin. If you follow this show, there is something for you, because if you kayak, if you mountain climb, if you hunt, fish, camp, even if you don't, this is the place that you're going to learn how to do it, an easy way to get yourself introduced to the outdoors. And that's why we love Raised in Wisco, and we love to have you along, and we love everything about the great state of Wisconsin everywhere in the state of Wisconsin. So I'm going to start off this week.
Ooh, yes.
We had the Weekly Wisco. My Weekly Wisco, I spent a lot of time outside this week, and I'm not a big fan of super hot, super
absolutely
muggy weather.
Absolutely not. Me
I'm
either.
Just not. I mean, I sweat. I mean, I'm a fat dude. I sweat. No, I don't glisten. I just downright sweat. And there was a time about 15 years ago, I was canoeing down a Wisconsin river for an event, and I got like overheated. And
oh, no.
The DNR had to like race me lights and sirens to the hospital because
no.
I was like overheated. I got to get hooked up with all of the, I think that might have been back in my drinking days though.
Oh, that would
so
probably
I might have had some cocktails the day before. Four and I was dehydrated.
The wrong kind of hydration.
It wasn't pretty. It was, and all I think I weighed about 310 pounds at the time I was in the legislature.
No way.
And yeah, oh yeah, I was a heavy dude there for a while. My mom, Mary Clayfish. I think she's like, what are you now, mom? 80? Not
Why
quite
would you
yet.
Do
I don't
that?
Know. How old
Stop
are you?
Stop doing that.
She's pushing 80. She's a little Italian lady, and I'm telling you what, she is feisty. She's got her complete wits about her, but I will also remind you, if you're the son of an Italian mom, according to them, you are always their child, so they're always ready to correct you, correct your grammar, correct you if they don't think you're acting right. Get to church. Make sure you get to church. I'm going to church. I went to church, Mom. I even went to confession last week. My soul is fresh as a daisy right now.
Fresh as a daisy?
But yeah, so be careful out in the heat, but get out in the heat, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, get out this. We anybody who complains about the heat, and I put myself in this category, if you're complaining about the heat in Wisconsin, then you don't have any right to complain when it's cold, because we had a long cold season here, right? Taylor's nodding. You can vocalize that if you want.
Yeah, no,
Taylor.
About 8 months of winter, last couple of years we've had. So. Yeah.
8 months, that sounds absolutely horrible. But I still do not want to move to the southern states.
No, thanks. Nope. I don't want that much heat that long.
Absolutely not.
My weekly Wisco is a combination of things. First of all, the sweet corn is unbelievable this year. And don't go buying sweet corn at some store that buys it through a franchise. Go to the corner, go to your gas station, and find a local farmer who's got sweet corn. I took sweet corn, and you know this food, I tell everybody, this show is really a cooking show at the end of the day. And I love to make elotes, which is Mexican sweet corn. and it's basically corn, and then you shave it off the cob, and you add mayonnaise and cotijo cheese, and then chili pepper.
So is this
top
what they call the Mexican street corn?
Mexican street corn. Elotes is what it's called when you eat it off the cob.
That's
and I
fantastic.
Made that this weekend. Oh my gosh. I went right down downtown Sullivan. There's a local farmer who had, you know, one of those trust booths where you just put your money in and you take the corn with you home.
I like
make sure
those
to
trust
do that.
Booths?
I don't know what they call it.
That sounds perfect.
Trustworthy booth or trustworthy.
That's when you know it's going to be good.
An honor
Absolutely,
system,
right?
right? Yeah. Oh my gosh. It was so sweet and crispy. You know, that like popping crispy.
Uh-huh.
Almost like it's like the caviar of the field.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I like that a lot.
I'm feeling poetic. Yeah. I'm a little bit.
It's that street corn.
Kelvin, have you had the sweet corn yet this year?
I have not had the sweet corn yet this year, but on my way into the studio, I saw the stand in North Prairie that I usually go to.
And they got the good stuff. It's so sweet. They actually call it candy corn. John candy Whitmore, my buddy Woody, calls it candy corn. It's unbelievable. So my weekly Wisco consisted of that and the ham and jam in Beaver Dam.
That was a fundraiser
for the disabled folks I work for. A wonderfully perfect day. We did raffles. I spun the tunes. I was shaking my booty. Awesome. I was dancing. I got the shuffle step down now. I got the kids shuffle step, which just is a run.
Everybody, please
it's
go
a
to
version
Facebook.
Of the yeah. running man.
Please go to Facebook so you can watch these videos because Joel is breaking it down right now.
I was shaking it down. If you could only see my feet, man. It was good stuff.
You're making your mom proud.
Very proud.
No, she, you know, most of the time she's laughing at me, not with me, but that's okay. And then we had Harley weekend. The Harley reunion was in town this weekend. So that's another weekly great reason to get outdoors. You know, and I'm going to tell you something about Harley riders. They do not care if you own a Harley. They want you to participate in the events anyway.
Absolutely. Part of my weekly Wisco is I went down to the Milwaukee Air and Water Show. The Thunderbirds were there.
Fun.
I had the best. It was my first air show.
Okay.
I was a little late for the water show because we had to stop to get brunch at this place called Honey Pie.
You had to stop to get brunch.
Obviously.
Obviously. It is about food. Food is my favorite dish.
But Joel Clayfish, do you know how I got from Dousman to Milwaukee?
On the back of a Harley Davidson.
On a Honda motorcycle by myself, a little 300.
What?
Yes.
I didn't know you had your motorcycle license.
I have my temps, so I'm allowed to ride with people.
With a helmet.
Oh, obviously. Helmet, jacket, gloves. It was hot, but I still did it from Dousman all the way to Milwaukee. Guess how many times I stalled out?
How many?
Like two dozen.
Did you take... I hope you took back roads. You weren't on the freeway, burning it up.
I will not go on the freeway. No, I'm not
a freeway. I had a Harley for 17 years, so I have my motorcycle license, and I love the Harley-Davidson culture. It is one of the kindest, most enjoyable cultures with all the clothing and the accessories and the welcomeness. And so if you don't own a Harley...
They
drive your car. to participate in the Harley-Davidson events. I mean, they're absolutely incredible. Taylor Finger is the game bird biologist. He's on Raised in Wisco. That's where you can come to get experts on everything about the outdoors in Wisconsin. We have culinary experts. We have experts in field and table. We have experts in flyways, experts in deer hunting, experts in kayaking, experts in firearms. You want to learn about the outdoors or how you can participate in it. Not only can you contact our show, and we will literally put you in contact with people who will help you get into the outdoors, but you can learn what to do. And one of the things that I'm so convinced about in life is make ease of use for people.
Oh, absolutely.
And that's what a lot of my recipes are, real ease of use. And we got recipes coming up today.
Oh, I'm so excited about it. I'm so excited for this
recipe.
Danielle,
you have an awesome recipe, and I have a bonus recipe
this
week.
Well, this recipe that I have is this guy right
it's
over
Taylor
here.
Taylor Finger's recipe.
Oh, yeah.
Taylor Finger, the game bird ecologist for the Department of Natural Resources, like the bigwig. He's even got his DNR shirt on.
I
which
know.
Always,
he's so fancy.
Which always make, I mean, he's got the DNR shirt on, which always makes me a little bit nervous because I'm like, a warden. Yeah. And no, then see, I think I'm doing everything.
I don't write tickets.
Not I don't yet. Know why people, like, I understand the hesitancy when seeing a DNR warden. Like, I understand that. But
right.
But why? Like, why? Yeah. If you're doing everything correctly, why is it like?
I don't either.
I walk up to them and be like, hey, what's going on? How many birds you shoot?
I'm going to tell you why. Because wardens, just like police officers, I mean, first of all, they're the highest peace officer in the state. They have the most authority of any policing unit. But there are good and bad people in everything. And one
absolutely.
Of the things that Todd Schaller, the former chief warden and the current chief warden, have worked on so much is building relationships between those using the outdoor resources and the police enforcing the laws. And that's the difference between automatically punishing somebody who's not trying to do something wrong and having that teachable moment. And I think we've come a long way in that relationship. And I have a lot of friends who are wardens. I like working with the DNR. I think it behooves us to do that. At the same time, I do think there's wardens who have changed their tune and kind of come around to helping folks enjoy the outdoors the right way.
And speaking of enjoying the outdoors, another weekly Wisco that I did not participate in, the Ojibwa Bow Hunters out of New Berlin, they do the youth days. And then speaking of wardens and police officers, they have them there. So you get to meet them, talk with them, and start off as a youth. Like,
that's
hey,
the
everyone's
best thing
wonderful
to do.
And perfect.
Ask them a question ahead of time if you don't know exactly how law ferrets out, and they're going to give you an answer. You guys are not going to want to miss. Taylor Finger is going to talk about a hunt in the middle of summer. I'm not joking. He's going to talk about some folks who are going to be hunting various species of waterfowl in the middle of summer. How on earth does that happen? We're
going to
talk about that. We're also going to talk about two recipes that sound fantastic. And we're going to get some insights on the flyway for the upcoming duck and goose season, which is right around the corner.
So exciting.
Oh, so exciting. On Raised in Wisco, I'm Joel Clayfish. That's Danielle Fairman.
Shaw, WAUK. This history can't be denied. Wisconsin is the home of the hamburger. About 30 minutes west of Green Bay, you'll find the city of Seymour, where in the 1880s, young Charlie Nagreen pushed his food cart to the fair. The 15-year-old planned to sell round balls of beef to visitors, but it didn't quite catch on. Can you guess the surprising reason why? The answer's coming up. Every summer, the home of the hamburger celebrates its history in a huge way with Burger Fest in Seymour. There's a 200-pound burger on the grill, a bun, run, ketchup slide, and of course, a burger-eating contest. So did you guess why Charlie's first beef recipe didn't work out? Well, as the story goes, visitors to the fair wanted to walk around. Charlie realized he needed to smash his beef ball between two pieces of bread to be able to eat it on the go. Charlie's hamburger, a huge success, making Seymour the home of the hamburger, a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for Matt Nair on Air.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
This is Raised in Wisco. I'm your host, Joel Clayfish, co-host Danielle Fairman, woo, sitting alongside of me. How exciting, what an exciting week it has been to be in the outdoors of Wisconsin. And this time of year, the excitement just continues to grow because absolutely, we are a month away.
33 days until early goose.
Yes, early goose season.
Not that
season.
Anybody is counting already.
And then an extra.
Early teal, morning dove, all same day.
Morning dove, same day.
So excited.
And then... and who you hear piping up there is Taylor Finger, the state game bird ecologist, like the big wig of all things flying and even birds that don't fly.
Rabbits, squirrels, cover it all.
You cover
small
rabbits
game,
and squirrels.
Yep.
Small game is covered in that too.
Just keep piling it on.
Oh my gosh. So there's people who hunt and they want to hunt a giant animal because it fills the freezer in one shot. I'm one of those guys who likes to hunt a lot of small animals
and
fill my
same
freezer
quantity
with a variety of different things.
Same. I'm
watch your bag
same
limits. I write, you know what I do? I write them in Post-it notes and stick them to the freezer when I put them in.
There you go.
So that I have a running tab. That only gets a little difficult once you start cooking more of it. And if you have a party and you cook more of it, then you think, wait, how much did I use versus how much I have?
So I have a chalkboard.
Well, I'm good now at labeling the baggies with my Sharpie and then putting it on the outside of it.
One of the cool tricks that we heard, and this is just when you're in the field, if you're with a group of people for your duck hunting, just go and buy a handful of colored zip ties. And so you mark your bird, and then you can pile all your birds together. But if you zip tie, I'm all the blue ducks, I'm all the red ducks, because if you pile all your ducks in one pile, technically...
No, you can't. You got to put them behind you. They got to be in your bag.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So that's a good way to mark to let
that's
you know.
That's a great idea. Yeah. That's
but I also love having my own with me because it keeps me warm. It gets really cold out there. So, like,
you
if
put
you
the waterfowl in the blind with you, you...
Yeah, why not? Like, if you shoot a goose,
that's like
slippers.
15 pounds of heat in the bag, automatic heat.
Yeah, just put it right down by my toesies.
I guess that's not a bad
nice
idea. That is not a horrible idea. I don't know that I'll try it, but it's not horrible. Although I think I have probably used one as a pillow.
I have not done
and
that.
Slapped. See, when you listen to Raised in Wisco on your Civic Media stations every weekend at 11 o'clock, you get to learn how the harvested waterfowl will help keep you from getting...
Yes.
I was going to say from getting anesthesia. That's not the word I'm looking for. from getting hypothermia.
When I go out, layout boat duck hunting, when I go out with Mike Keller... He has the lanyards he puts all around there, but then I also bring it to me when it's not my turn to be in the layout boat, when it's freezing outside, and I just stuff him in my jacket.
Just cuddling.
Yep. Just stay nice and warm, keep the core temperature down.
I'm not mad at you for that. That's kind of a good idea. Danielle, you come up with some good ones once in a while. That's pretty good.
Once in a while.
I'm so excited. So... Raisin Wisco has like access to some of the coolest guests in the outdoors, and we have them on the show and share them with you. And they're not just to be shared with you so that you can hear about it. We want you to contact us. We want you to be part of the outdoors. We want to grow the outdoor heritage in Wisconsin. So when we have somebody like Taylor Finger, the state's game bird ecologist, on, you know, from the DNR, we're showing you that creating relationships, even with the government entities, is a good thing if you want to participate in the outdoors. Now, I was blown away to learn. We were chatting a little bit before the show.
Oh, my goodness.
This is crazy. You were telling me, Taylor, that there is a hunt coming up this weekend.
We're starting to follow. No, we're going to start. We have a class where we have a three-class thing. So tomorrow, this week, we're going to be, it's called a waterfowl learn to hunt for professionals. And what this is it's a class specifically designed for wildlife professionals, because there was a study that was done here about 10 years ago that showed that 70% of wildlife professionals coming out of college don't have any hunting background.
That's crazy to me.
Yes. Like, I mean, they want to help the animals, obviously, be out there and learn about them, but they need to know the whole process of everything.
But if you think about this, this is wardens, this is administration, this is bird banders, this is
researchers,
this is people who are counting the whitetails in Wisconsin. These are people who are determining possibilities for disease. These are
fishery people. Anybody. And so what, the
70%,
that's a lot,
have never hunted before.
And so we thought, you know, it's really important to get, you know, non-wildlife professionals out, but these are people that are actively managing the resource. And the number one question whenever we have a new staff, a new county biologist, if I have a new assistant, first question from the first phone call they get is, do you hunt? And what your answer is, whether it's fair or it's not fair, is going to determine whether or not they trust you or believe
Absolutely.
You.
Really?
Yeah.
And I definitely feel that.
If you say, hey, do you hunt? You say, oh, no. Like, do you then trust what they're saying?
Because you don't really understand what's happening.
It's like somebody who's never cooked, you know, giving you advice on how you should cook. I guess you think to your, that's probably just human reaction, right? That's human nature.
And all it takes is one. So for us, if we say, hey, a person called and said, yeah, I actually tried waterfowl hunting for the first time last year. You are now part of the group. They're like, hey, you want to go out? Hey, hey, if you're interested in this, let's go to this place. Come on out. So it just puts them on a different level with these people. And it doesn't mean that their answers are any better or not, you know, or
correct. Right.
It's just you made them relatable. And so what this is a class where we sit down and we talk about where, like, all of the duck stamp dollars, where that comes from. Again, more of a professional aspect rather than so much a here's a duck wing. Here's, you know, here's how you breast out a bird. We're going to cover a lot of that, you know, like you do with a regular learn to hunt. But this is more. And we have people from Fish and Wildlife Service. We have people from Glyphwick for the tribes coming. We have people like International Crane Foundation actually are sending staff to come participate in this event. DNR wardens, DNR researchers, DNR biologists. So
unbelievable. Yeah, that's such a great thing.
How often do you have this class?
So we do it because it takes about three classes. We do it about once a year, but again, it's a big investment, but we've had about 60 people go through the class in about the past 4 years. So
that's
again,
wonderful.
Yeah, yeah. We're going to dive into that a little bit, and then we're going to get your expert opinion. You guys have to listen to this. Taylor's going to tell us about the duck migration this year, how it's going, what we can expect, what those newly filled up water holes mean for hunters, new opportunities. And folks, remember, Wisconsin's fall primary election is August 13th. Make a plan to vote. This and every election. Do your civic duty to learn about who and what's on your ballot and where to cast it. Go to myvote.wisconsin.gov, because the people determining how the hunting seasons go and how you get to participate in Wisconsin's outdoors are those elected officials. So make sure you get there to vote, and you can't miss us talking about the wood duck wild rice soup. And I'm going to talk about wild venison smoked scotch eggs. If you don't know what that is, you're definitely going to learn. So I'm going to tell you something. Oh. It's a European dish. It's a European dish.
Sounds like a mouthful.
It starts with a boiled
egg. Scotch.
But you can use a boiled pheasant egg when you do it. And I tried that out. Yes, it's fantastic. Ooh. And I'm going to tell you how to make your own venison sausage. That's easier than you can believe. You're not going to believe it. I'm raised in Wisco. Are you ready?
This is The Shaw, WAUK.
CBS News Brief. What's up on the campaign trail?
Harris will travel to seven battleground states next week to rally supporters. Vance and Trump are planning another joint rally today in Georgia.
CBS's Bradley Blackburn. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin has nixed a plea deal for the accused mastermind of the 9/11 attacks, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, along with two other defendants. Terry Strada is with 9/11 Families United.
Justice in due process is a trial, you know, a trial where the evidence is heard and they face their charges and then they face the consequences.
The plea deal had taken the death penalty off the table. 32 people have been killed and dozens injured in an attack on a beach hotel in Mogadishu, Somalia.
The police say that they were able to neutralize three gunmen, but however, the damage is really steep. And when you look at the many, many young people who have been killed, this is an unbearable tragedy for Somalia.
The BBC's Dorcas Wangira. CBS News Brief. I'm Linda Kenyon.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
It's the Packers Family Night. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers holding their annual practice inside Lambeau Field. This is their 24th year, and tonight is a sellout. Up to 81,000 fans expected to attend. Head coach Matt LaFleur.
Having that many fans come out, I think it naturally just ups the urgency. It feels truly like a preseason game.
Baseball, the Brewers with an 8-3 win over the Nationals in Washington, D.C. It was the first time pitching in a Brewers uniform for Frankie Montas, traded to Milwaukee from the Reds before the deadline. Now, he gave up those three runs, but went five innings and was asked, what was his mindset? And he said, you know, with guys like Bryce Terang in the infield.
Just trying to throw strikes. You know, these guys have great defense. They play great defense, you know, so I was just trying to make him hit the ball, you know. But yeah, just trying to attack and throw strikes.
Montrez becomes the 17th pitcher to start a game for the Crew this season, which ties the record set in 1969 by the Seattle Pilots, who became the Milwaukee Brewers the following season. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, mostly sunny. We'll have highs in the mid-80s. For tonight, mostly clear, 67. Mostly sunny, highs in the upper 80s on Sunday. Showers and storms Sunday night, a low around 70 degrees. For Monday, scattered storms with a high around 80.
Right now, 77 degrees.
It's time for the grooviest event of the summer at the Wisconsin State Fair. Feeling good at the Wisconsin State Fair, presented by U.S. Cellular, August 1st through the 11th. Yeah, I'm
feeling good. Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Today, I have a message for any parents with teens who are working summer jobs. I'm going to share our money plans for my kids' summer earnings. Kids rarely make more than $14,600 in a summer, which means they don't have to pay income tax on that. Now, if my kiddo invests some of her wages in a Roth IRA, she can make real investment income over the next 40 years and not have to pay taxes on that. Because that's how Roth IRAs work. You invest post-tax income, you know, like paycheck money, and then you get to withdraw everything without paying taxes on whatever is in that account. So if my 17-year-old invests just $500 this one summer, it's going to turn into more than $10,000 when she retires in 40 years. And that's just from this summer. For more Everyday Money tips, check out Work Money Media on YouTube. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying take good care.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
A lot of people, I think, are going to be seeing Twisters this weekend. I mean, the movie.
Welcome to Merlot with the Movies. So without spoilers, what'd you think?
I actually really, really, really loved it. When it came down to the science, what they were talking about, the tips and tricks, I was impressed. It really helps, too, with people that are scared of storms. If you do want the full effect, see it in theaters.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning, 6 until 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Crude and Dom.
Tune in to the next Devil's Advocates radio show. It's the Kamala Pixar Vice President Edition. We'll introduce you to the candidate Devil's Advocates Radio.
The Devil's Advocates. Weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Yo, it's Raised in Wisco. You can listen to it on all your Civic Media stations, 13 of them throughout the great state of Wisconsin, 11 a.m. Saturdays and Sundays every weekend. Me, Joel Clayfish.
Hello.
You, Danielle Fairman.
That's me.
We're going to bring you on this show the best times, reasons, excuses, food about Wisconsin. I mean, how much more fun does it get than to learn all the things you can do in the outdoors of Wisconsin and all the things you can eat if you live here by your own hands or by the great supper clubs or taverns or restaurants throughout the state.
And it's fantastic because every week it's something new. It's something different. And we've been going on for almost 2 years now.
And we never repeat ourselves.
We do not repeat ourselves because Wisconsin is that fantastic.
And the greatest thing, the reason that every single person should listen to this show, and we so appreciate you who are listening, everybody should listen to this show because there is something for everybody.
Absolutely.
Raised in Wisco is about living in this state, being grateful for the resources in this state, and on top of that, taking away your fear to participate in the awesomeness of this state.
And if you have any questions or concerns, more or less questions, go to our
questions
Facebook,
or suggestions,
suggestions
too.
There we go. Go to our Facebook page, give us a like, and post, comment, whatever you need to on our videos and our pictures.
We will answer all of them because we are sincerely interested in taking any fear you may have about getting in the outdoors and trying something new. If you are not a hunter, give us a question. We will help you get out into the woods. If
Absolutely.
You want to try fishing, foraging, kayaking, rock climbing, camping, some kind of recipe. If you don't know how to make a roux and a gravy, let us know because we're going to help you out. We're going to post recipes. And coming up on the show, I'm excited. We're going to talk about two recipes. We're going to talk about venison smoked scotch eggs. And we're going to talk about wood duck soup, which is a specialty of Taylor Finger, who's the game bird ecologist. And, you know, we were talking about this very special learn to hunt, and I hope I didn't mislead anybody. It's a very specific hunt for folks who are employed by the Department of Natural Resources.
Or just in wildlife professions.
Or wildlife professions to be able, who have never hunted before, to be able to go out and duck hunt. And one of the cool things about that, what I'm really excited about that is you got some plumed out ducks right now. I mean, they're going to be able to have some opportunities at some beautiful waterfowl.
Yeah, it's, again, we partner with the Fish and Wildlife Service. We partner with a bunch of other groups, and we're fortunate enough to get out in Horicon Marsh in the early fall and give these
early
people,
fall. This is the middle of summer.
I'm saying that that's when the first class of they got to do a little behind the work, and then we get them out in September and October. The Fish and Wildlife Service and the feds would not be okay with us hunting in the summertime. We kind of stopped that about 100 years
that's
ago.
That's why we're so excited. I thought during the middle of summer they get to get do this.
You know, no, I misled you guys. Yeah,
I think no, you didn't. I knew what was going on. You look, I'm so excited for these folks who've never hunted before to get out there and get a chance, and they might blast 25 caps before they hit one bird, you know,
they're excited as they get 20 shells.
It's so exciting.
That first bird, if it's their 19th shell or it's their first shell, they're walking away with a grin on their face.
Oh,
no doubt about it.
It happens every time.
Yeah.
Every time.
I think this is just such a great idea because, look, you're giving people an opportunity at a time that they don't have to compete with other hunters. They're going to be surrounded by folks who are willing to teach them.
Awesome mentors. Yeah.
Awesome mentor. Kelvin, have you ever waterfowl hunted in your life?
I have one time.
And how did it go?
It was okay. It wasn't an experience I personally loved, but I definitely saw the appeal of why other people like it.
Okay, so
good
now
answer.
Is there any time in the next week we can get Calvin certified as an outdoor specialist?
There's a lot of coursework involved.
Are you up for cramming some coursework and going on the duck hunt of your life, Calvin?
Biology was never my strong suit. No, you're good.
Hey, Matt, Calvin, it's good to see. We haven't seen you for a while. Producer Jess was doing other duties this week, and I'm thrilled to see you back. It's nice to have you back
with
us
you,
for
here.
The show, Calvin. So thanks a lot for filling in. And I think Raised in Wisco has kind of changed since last you were here, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's been a while. It's been at least, I don't want to say 3 months since I did it, and that was only a one-time thing. It's been even longer since I've been a regular part of it.
Yeah, we're really excited because the numbers are going up. Listeners are increasing. Raised in Wisco gets to talk to folks throughout the state now on Civic Media Station, Saturdays and Sundays at 11 o'clock. Danielle Fairman, I'm Joel Clayfish. We get to take you on a ride through Wisconsin. What's great about it? And one of the great things about it is Taylor Finger, who's the state's game bird ecologist, joining us today.
Happy to be here.
And I'm so excited to talk to you about, you're the game bird ecologist. You cover turkeys, ducks, geese, all the waterfowl and small game. We don't have anywhere near enough time for me to pick your brain enough. And I want to say, I mean, Taylor's been a guest on the Fowl Life podcast, and the Fowl Life, he is extremely involved, always willing to give his time to help educate and to help folks understand and get into waterfowl hunting. And waterfowl hunting and turkey hunting really, in my opinion, waterfowl hunting, turkey hunting, rabbit hunting, squirrel hunting, those are great entry hunting pursuits, aren't they?
Yeah, it's active. You know, you're not sitting in a tree stand for 10 hours hoping to God something walks by you. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, if you're waterfowl hunting, you're getting up, you're standing, you're camaraderie, you got people sitting next to you. Even turkey hunting, if you got someone close enough on the tree, you can talk all morning. It's not just sitting here just, okay, hopefully something comes
don't
by.
Don't move, don't blink.
Yeah.
Hang tight.
So, and I want to say there's a much higher success rate in turkey hunting and waterfowl hunting than, say, deer hunting for the first time.
Yeah, and you can get away from people. Whereas, again, if you are deer hunting on public land and it's your first time, you can get a sour taste in your mouth because there could be someone sitting 70 yards away from you.
Mm-hmm.
And you just can't get away from them.
You know what? One of the things that I absolutely love about waterfowl hunting is...
What?
You can...
The food?
You can... If you're in a layout blind... You're waterfowl hunting, you are sitting, your stomach is sore and it's not from sitting up a lot of times. You and your buddies and anyone you've brought out there are laughing your rear ends off, laughing till your stomach muscles are sore half the time.
As you're watching someone chase a wounded goose. You're giving him all the encouragement in the world.
Danielle's got her full limit in her jacket, trying to stay warm. I'm telling you, I mean, and it goes back to Danielle Fairman and I had one of the greatest hunts of my life. It was fog level down to about 10 yards on top of us. So we didn't know there were geese in the air until we heard them.
Dropping out of the sky.
And then we were calling them and they were just going directly to the call and all of a sudden they would show up 10 yards above our heads. Man, it was such a blast. But that's what I love about waterfowl hunting. And that's what I have to tell you. It doesn't matter what type of person you are. You will find a type of outdoor activity in Wisconsin that will suit you. Even if you just limit it to hunting and fishing, it's so diverse. Waterfowl hunting, you goofing around with your buddies, talking the whole time until the birds are coming, then you start calling. Even turkey hunting with somebody in a blind, you can move around quite a bit. You can whisper to each other most of the whole time until you see something.
And then the adrenaline kicks in.
And the adrenaline kicks in and you're trying to get them to close that gap. And then if you're a solitude person or you want a day completely by yourself, there's nothing more curative than sitting in a deer stand with a bow or a rifle or
listening to the world wake up.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, it's the best.
I love how every single hunter outdoorsman has that same exact response, listening to the world wake up.
I just, that's my favorite time.
Every single person
watching the woods wake up is my favorite thing in the whole world, because you will always hear something you've never heard before, and 9 times out of 10 you're going to see something you never expected to
the
see.
The first grunt I ever heard. I watch a lot of scary movies during that time of the year, and when I say I ran as fast as I could, I was like, I was floating. I was so terrified. I'm like, what is that?
Or you hear a fox in the early in the morning.
Raccoons fighting each other.
Oh my goodness. I get so terrified. My brain goes, my imagination runs wild.
Oh, no doubt about it. I was sitting by myself. I had turkeys, you know, decoys set up, and I had set up real early. So I didn't bust them out of the roost walking in. And what that means is turkeys sleep in trees. So if you don't know that, turkeys sleep in trees. And if you sneak in early enough, you can sneak in close to where they're sleeping without scaring them. So I had set everything up, and all of a sudden I'm in the tree and I see this owl circling, and the owl comes down and hits my decoy. Thought it was a turkey trying to smack the decoy, trying to for prey, but hit it and it was plastic, knocked it straight off, and it was sitting upside down. All that work And the owl totally ruined my hunt because my decoy was upside down.
It was
down.
Worth it, though, to it
was
see good, it.
But it was pretty cool. And I thought, do I sneak out or do I just let it go? But I can't. Okay. We need the state game bird ecologist.
Yeah, we have
is here,
questions.
Danielle. We need to talk about
the results from
game
the spring
bird
waterfall.
Ecology.
Yes, spring waterfall survey.
So yeah, it was interesting. So we've been flying the waterfall survey in Wisconsin for 50 years, and we follow basically the same protocol that the Fish and Wildlife Service does. This was the earliest we've ever flown the survey because, if you guys recall, there was...
So can we tell people about why do we do the survey for people that do not know?
Yeah, so Wisconsin contributes our duck numbers, primarily our mallard numbers, to the Fish and Wildlife Service. And usually the mid-continent mallard numbers is what goes into determining how long a season we have and how many bags or what the bird bag limit is. So... Again, where we look at Wisconsin, Michigan, and Minnesota contribute to that. And at the end of the summer, the feds will come out with their estimate, and they'll tell us, okay, in next year, we're going to have a 60-day season, a 45-day season, or a 30-day season.
So, okay. How are we looking?
And it's only that specific number,
45, and 60. Yep, that's where we're set up with season frameworks. And so this year, Wisconsin, we were down about 8% on our mallards. Michigan was up like 57%.
Down on our mallards? That surprises me.
It's we were so dry last year.
Yeah, we were.
We probably have a load of pintails.
And we were really dry going into the survey. And then it just didn't stop raining from the late April into July.
Okay.
So, again, I think during the time period that we actually surveyed, we had less water. It was a little bit tougher to find the birds. I think we're sitting okay. Michigan was much better this year. Continentally, it'll be interesting because we've been down. Mallard numbers have been down for the last 3 or 4 years. So, but we had a phenomenal year this year for
water. So are we changing any bag limits, you think?
We won't know until the feds release their numbers in late August, but we've had a 60-day season since 1997, so I would suspect
we've had lower numbers and still a 60-day season.
Yeah, yes. I'm very hopeful. Right,
and I mean, last year we actually went to two hen mallards in the bag of four mallards, which was extremely forgiving. Let's just say,
it's been something that hunters have asked for a long, long time, and we use science and biology to essentially look at. Mallard populations, hen harvest, all of that is not related at all to duck hunters. Hen survival is primarily driven on habitat.
Sure.
So the idea that we're going to, if we shoot one less hen, it's not going to make any difference on the actual hen survival. So why not give someone that opportunity, that kid that shoots his first duck and it's a hen mallard and now he's afraid to shoot another duck because...
Right, because he may not be super great at identification. Yeah. And so, yeah. That's really smart.
Yeah, it just gives kind of that grace period and we have the population to do so.
God, man, this show flies so fast. Okay, two more quick questions about this topic. Number one... All the rain, all the potholes are filled up, the marshes are filled back up, the tributaries are filled back up, there's rivers where there weren't rivers, there's creeks where there weren't creeks. I got a scrape in the backyard that's got water for the first time in 5 years. We're going to see a ton of waterfowl, aren't we?
Yeah, we had awesome brood production areas this year, so there's going to be water absolutely everywhere. The marshes all look great. We're starting our banding season right now, so if we can get birds to concentrate, because it's hot right now, but from what we gather, wood duck boxes, people have been seeing all kinds of ducks out. I think we're going to have an excellent year.
How do we talk about getting more bands on the legs of more waterfowl?
More money? No, we put Wisconsin is the largest banding state does it ourselves. We will do over 4,000 birds a year.
Are you limited to that number?
We do 10,000 bands a year. We do
10,000 bands a year.
4,000 Canada geese, 4,000 mallards, 1,700 wood ducks, and about 850 doves.
Are you limited? Wow. Can you do more? Could you do more?
You could do more, but again, it takes time. It takes staff time. It takes resources. Think about spending weeks on weeks trying to
How many
bait.
Of those get harvested?
About 20% on
20%.
Average.
That means we They're got more there. Bands to get out there, Danielle. I can't wait to talk about the food we're going to eat. And we're going to talk turkey because you can't forget about those fall turkeys. So many people do. I'm going to tell you it's one of the best times to get
Absolutely.
Out there and sit for the gobblers.
The Shaw, W-A-U-K, Waukesha's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Finding the special healthcare resources families need just got easier. Wisconsin Wayfinder, Children's Resource Network, helps kids with delays, disabilities, special healthcare needs, and mental health conditions. Call toll-free 877-947-2929. Ask questions. Get answers. Connect today toll-free 877-947-2929. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
As a federally licensed broadcast company, this civic media station is required by FCC regulations to accept advertising by all qualified candidates for federal office. We also accept ads from state and local candidates. We do screen announcements from issue groups and PACs and exercise discretion in airing announcements with blatantly false claims or outrageous unfounded statements. These announcements do not necessarily reflect the views of civic media, its hosts, or advertisers, and the source of all issue announcements can be found online at our FCC public file.
You're listening to The Shaw, W-A-U-K.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
You're listening to Raised in Wisco. I'm your host, Joel Clayfish. Danielle Fairman's at my side.
Hello.
Co-piloting this rig for a smooth landing over the waters of Lake Michigan, the Mississippi, and more than 10,000 inland lakes. That's right. Way more than Minnesota, but they have it on their license plate. That's okay. We have America's Dairyland on our license plate, which I absolutely love. I love cows. They're so cool.
They're so adorable.
I do. They're just so docile. I just love cows.
Are you ready for food?
I'm ready to talk about food. I was literally like preparing, talking about food because I don't know what it is, but we get on the show and I just get so hungry.
That's why I eat before I come
here now. Taylor Finger, the Department of Natural Resources game bird ecologist is with us, and we were talking about how awesome the waterfowl season should be this year with all the water we've got recently, and I want to ask you, I'm a fall turkey hunter. We don't get too many fall turkey hunters in Wisconsin, do we?
No, so it's interesting. It's right now the fastest growing license that we sell.
Turkey is?
Oh, no, that makes me nervous because I love fall turkey hunting.
Everyone's buying it, I think, to have it in their back pocket while they're bow hunting because our harvest doesn't change whatsoever.
Oh, no.
Really?
We have almost like 90,000 permits sold in the fall, and if our harvest gets to 4,000, that's a good year.
Oh, wow. That's a lot.
So yeah,
I love hunting turkeys in the fall.
Absolutely.
If you're going after them, you can be real successful.
It's a quarry of opportunity for most people.
For most people.
What about the spring? What's the spring numbers look like?
This year was our fourth highest turkey harvest on record.
Fourth highest?
That doesn't surprise me. How are the turkey numbers?
If anybody's been following anything across the country, turkey numbers have been down.
Yeah, a little bit.
Wisconsin we peaked in like the early to mid 2000s, which is, if you look at any healthy population, we probably overshot our carrying capacity.
Okay.
And right now for the last 10 years, we are either up or we're either down, but we've been steady, which is indicative of a healthy population.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And again, we've had really, really good brood production years and no winter last year. So there was no mortality and it was a phenomenal year.
Awesome.
This year.
Yeah. I'm seeing poults everywhere. It's just hard to see them with the crops up.
What was the first highest?
It was our first highest, I think, was like 1999, and that was 57,000 or something. So we weren't that far off.
What are we sitting at now?
This last year was just a hair over 50,000.
That's
50,000.
That's so great. I love it. I love seeing those baby turkeys running around.
They're so adorable.
Yeah.
I'm
going to put a plug out there. Starting on Thursday, August 1st, we do a game brood survey.
Brood.
So it's an app that you can go. If you go onto the DNR site and you type in game brood, it's a free app that when you're driving around, if you see a pheasant, turkey, or rough grouse, it'll bring up your location and you pop it in there, and we use all of that data to help us manage their population.
You don't take that data and give it to competing hunters, do you?
No,
I'm kidding.
No.
I wouldn't even care if you did. I wouldn't care if you did. I think we should spread the joy, spread the love. I already have five brand new hunters plan to take turkey hunting.
Awesome.
Let's get to food. We got to get to food. I'm just going to say, I made scotch eggs.
What in the world is that?
And they were absolutely incredible. I took venison. I took venison meat, beef fat, and seasoning, ran it through a grinder, and that's what I used as my sausage. You take a hard-boiled egg, you coat it in the venison sausage. Then I used crumbs from pork rinds instead of breadcrumbs. Well, but it has the same taste. And then I put them on the Traeger grill at 350 for 25 minutes, crispy on the outside.
Yep.
And
gooey on the inside.
And they're phenomenal. I'll dip them in a little English mustard or a little mustard or ketchup and mustard. Unbelievable. So you've got this egg that's essentially crispy on the outside with sausage around the egg.
Ooh.
And then a hard-boiled egg in the middle, and you just eat it with your hands. It was phenomenal.
That sounds fantastic.
Well, let's hear about your recipe, Danielle.
Game
Bird Ecologist Taylor Fingers got this recipe for
us. Of course, it's a wood duck recipe, too. Yeah.
You can use any duck, but I mean, wood duck table fare is hard to beat.
And, it really is.
And again, then match it up with wild rice. I mean, starting in
We got a wood duck wild rice soup. Talk me through it.
Yeah, it's just a creamy wild rice soup. You're going to make a roux, you butter, you put your flour in there, early pepper. You can do carrots, celery, onion, that all ready to go. Then you add your broth, chicken broth in there. You add heavy cream, so it's just this heavy, thick, awesome, hearty soup.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah, just cut your wood duck up into small pieces, simmer it so it's all done on the inside, and add it in there with your wild rice. It's just a stick to your ribs type of soup.
Ooh, even though it was, I'm going to say 110 degrees outside because it was that hot to me. Soup still does sound fantastic
You gotta start clearing out the freezer.
That's what I'm doing right now. I'm working on it. I think I had iguana and nilgai in the last 2 days.
I did not.
I'm not joking. Me either. I think I had iguana, nilgai, and possum. I'm not sure. No, I didn't have possum.
That would be more likely in my freezer than iguana.
Iguana is very good. It tastes like crab.
I heard it's fantastic.
Okay, so you heard him talk about a roux. I just want to tell you, a lot of people are afraid to make a soup because they're afraid of a roux. All you have to think is 50-50 flour, oil, flour, butter, flour, fat, 50-50, and let it heat up in a pan till it starts to smell a little bit like bread, and then add your stock. And you can even cheat. Don't go buy some chicken broth. Pour it in there and then when it bubbles, it'll thicken. That's when the magic happens, the chemical happens. Then, to be honest with you, you can put coot, merganser. It doesn't matter what you put in that sauce because it's going to be delicious. You can make a great soup out of it. So don't be afraid of that. Folks, we love having you come along on our show, on our ride, Raised in Wisco. I'm Joel Clayfish. Riding Shotgun is Danielle. I think I'm going to use that more often, Riding Shotgun.
Danielle Fairman.
It's perfect. I mean, it's relatable to the topics. Taylor Finger has been here. Well, he's still here.
Hello.
He's the Game Bird Ecologist. Yeah. Not only
appreciate that.
a striking example of the positive influences of the Department of Natural Resources here in Wisconsin, but he also actually gets out there, he gets his rear in a blind and hunts and cooks what he gets as well.
Who knows?
Cooks it all, cleans it all. He cleans it. You're quite a catch, Taylor.
You know that? Thank you.
Your wife is very lucky.
I think you're quite a catch after it's all said.
A little louder
done.
For the people in the back.
I know anytime anyone says, what, you cook and everything? Does your wife know that? I say, I don't call and tell her. Have a great week, everybody. We're going to be here every weekend on your Civic Media Station, Saturdays, Sundays at 11 o'clock. Don't forget the Wisconsin Waterfowl Expo. Game Bird Ecologist Taylor Finger will be there. Danielle Fairman's going to be at the Women's Zone. I'm going to be cooking and handing out awesome food. Make sure to join us at that. We'll see you next week on Raised in Wisco.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for Up North News Radio.
Maggie Dawn.
Coming up, Maggie has an interview with the author of White Fragility, Robin DiAngelo. Probably the most important show you're going to hear in a while. Stay tuned.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. You're listening to The Shaw,
WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.